Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Just wanted to let you know that we're migrating our site or content from Geek Brunch to DCNoisePodcast.com. So make sure you subscribe to DC Noise Podcast. We're trying to consolidate to save money on cost, and we were having trouble with the Geek Brunch site anyway. So this is one of the moves we're making. I'm going to try to publish to both sites so everybody can who listens to this episode will know what's going on and how to get Geek Brunch Retro, and Mike M's Weekly Reads, along with DC Spotlight and other podcasts. So for the interim, I think it's going to go to both sites, and then in the short term, in a couple months, it will go just to one. So I think that's the plan. I still need to get that confirmed with Derek Coward, who runs everything. But hopefully that'll help a little bit with the problems we're having, and get our podcasts out in a timely manner, because we've had so much problems. So I want to go over some recent purchases. We have a Marvel comic, Biker Mice from Mars. Number one from Marvel Comics. This was based on a hit new TV show, which I never saw. We have a new comic, Biker Mice from Mars, coming out from Oni Press. I think it was solicited last month. So this was the original. So I think this is the first appearance of the Biker Mice from Mars in comics format. What else do we got? We have Shadowplay Tales of the Supernatural. This is a Whitman Gold Key. Towards the end of their run, Gold Key totally went to Whitman, and I think this is one. But even death could not stop the tears of a man betrayed. And it's got somebody who looks like a musketeer on the cover, and he looks like he's being haunted by ghosts, and somebody's dropping a beer. We have Sergeant Fury and the Howling Commandos. Number 19, An Eye for an Eye. You'll never forget the roaring revenge of Nick Fury and his Howling Commandos as they're on top of a Red Baron biplane. And looks like he's holding on, and it looks like it's getting ready to take off the ground. We have Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos number 12. This one has all the faces of the commandos: Dum Dum, Gabriel Jones, Frenchie, Private Rebel, Ralston, Private Izzy Cohen, Private Ding, Manelli, and obviously Sergeant Fury. This is number 12, and it says, "Which one of the Howlers deserts under fire and why?" Probably that guy on the corner, because he doesn't look familiar. But with this extra special spectacular issue, Fury and his fighting fireballs reach a new pinnacle of greatness and glory. We have Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos number 11, a rugged battle drama in the mighty Marvel manner, the crackdown of Captain Flint. If Captain Flint keeps giving the orders, Sarge, we're all goners. Nothing we can do about it, soldier. Keep moving. We can't win them all. So they're receiving some bad orders, it sounds like. We got Weird War Tales number 71 from DC Comics. It's a 40 center. It says three frightening stories, and this one looks like it's from the Crusades, and it's some barbarians, a king, a Roman warrior. Ghosts over the dead body of a current soldier, and his ghost is coming out, and the Grim Reaper is in the background. This is number 71 of Weird War Tales. We got The Witching Hour, number 85 from DC Comics. It's a 50 center. I think this is the last issue of The Witching Hour, which is kind of cool. It's always cool to get the last issues and the penultimate issues. We have It's Midnight Witching Hour, This is the first time at your new school, son. Have a good day. And she's dropping him off at this crazy thing. A witch is in the background. There's some ghosts in the front ground, and there's a skeleton in a hood that's saying, "Come here," and he's got a rule book. And the kid is terrified, and the mom's waving goodbye, like, "Have a good day at school, son." We got Amazing Spider-Man 135. This is the second appearance of the Punisher. It says, "Face it, friends, this issue's got everything." Has the tarantula on the cover, Punisher, Harry Osborn, J. Jonah Jameson, Gwen, I think Gwen Stacy, I don't know for sure, and Mary Jane. We have from Dell Comics, the 12th Center, Ghost Stories, The Mystery of the Deadly Giant Scorpion. And I don't know what number this is because Dell refuses to put numbers on their books. You have to look inside. We have Grimm's Ghost Stories. It's a Whitman Gold Key. Also, I think this is the last issue of this story. It's a 60 center. Like I said, a lot of the Gold Keys phased out with Whitman. And it says a Viking warrior claims his bride. And this one's cool because it's got the Viking and the girl kissing her in the foreground. But if you look in the mirror, the guy's kissing a skeleton. So that's pretty interesting. We have from Charlton Comics, Midnight Tales number 6. And this one, I've been trying to fill this run in. It looks really cool. It says, "Arachne, did you feed the carnivorous voracicious, like a plant, killer plant? The Midnight Philosopher and Arcani come home, children." I don't know if that's his daughter or a beautiful assistant. We have a 10th center. I don't know the date on it. It could be early Silver Age or late Golden Age. It's from Standard Comics called Thrilling Comics number 77. And it's got a woman with a rope and a horse, and then a cowboy trying to rescue an old guy that looks like he's in quicksand. We have Dracula, Tomb of Dracula number 21 from Marvel Comics. It's got Dracula fighting. He looks like a werewolf, but I think it's just a bearded dude. It says vampire. Well, he's another vampire. Vampire battles vampire in the sinister duel of the unliving. And there's a female in the background going, "Oh my God." We have Tomb of Dracula number 16. This one's kind of beat up. Back from the grave. It's got Dracula holding a woman unconscious, and somebody that looks like a skeleton overseeing everything. And Dracula looks like he's on the defense. We have Tomb of Dracula number 15. Some guy looks like he shot Dracula. He shot a bat. "I shot a bat, but I killed a vampire. How long will a vampire stay dead?" Doesn't look like too long. That poor guy's gonna be dead. We got Dracula, Tomb of Dracula number 60. Dracula says, "My son is dead. Let the world beware the wrath of Dracula, the most incredible shock story of all." And it says, "Comicdom's number one fear magazine." We have Tomb of Dracula number 2, which has Dracula turning into a bat, as it looks like he just sucked the blood out of some woman. The shrill scream splits the London at midnight. Who stole my coffin? We have an Action Comics 329 that has Superman holding a sword and a rainbow shield. It says, "It's kill or be killed when Superman faces the showdown with the ultimate enemy. Come on and fight, whoever you are. We've robbed me of my superpowers. Now I'm not afraid to die. I'll duel you to the death." And it says, "Extra, a great imaginary story of Supergirl." We got Action Comics 328. This has Superman in a post-apocalyptic world, it looks like, and he's holding two gas clouds, which looks like it nuked everything. But there's a person, people in the foreground said, the spy monitor shows our plot work. We managed to secretly coat Superman's hands with chemicals that made him a living doomsday bomb. When he clapped his hands to applaud Superman Day Parade, he detonated a blast that wiped out Metropolis. The mightiest man on Earth becomes the deadliest in Superman's Hands of Doom, the 12th Center. Another 12th Center, Action Comics, number 325, says it's the best Superman story of the year. And it has Little Jor-El whispering in a super kid's ear, no, son, don't touch that flyer. There are people inside. Me want to play with toy plane. It says Super Baby as a giant on the planet Krypton. Turn the page and see him grow up as the skyscraper Superman. We have from Dell Comics, it's a Dell giant. Universal Pictures presents Dracula and the Mummy, plus other stories. Kind of timely now that Image is publishing the Universal Monsters 4-issue miniseries. So we've had Dracula, and that was pretty good from a Renfield perspective. And then we have Creature of the Black Lagoon, and that was also fairly good. So I think the next one up is Frankenstein. We have Batman. I think this is a Batman special. Spectacular, number one. And it says, all new cover to cover Batman, three complete stories. It has Batman. There's a noose in the foreground looking at a wall that has some words on it. And it says, Batman, find my killer or I'll rise from my grave and hang you by the neck until you're dead. This one I think I owned before, but when I looked at my database, I didn't have it. So it might be something I had as a kid. It was a dollar spectacular, and I traded it away. Or it could be something I was just so familiar with in the ads that I thought I had it. That's happened before. We have House of Secrets number 114. It says there's no escape from the House of Secrets, and some woman is ice skating away from some skeleton hockey players, and it looks like a skeleton is coming out of the ice. We have Black Magic 1 through 3. These are DC reprints of Jack Kirby work. I think it's Joe Simon, too. And this guy on number 3 says, no, I'm not for an operation. I'm here for an operation, not an execution. And it looks like demons are getting ready to operate him. On number one, it has come in there. It's got a guy that looks like he's in a chair, and he's just a big head with little hands and little feet. And it says, come in. There's nobody here to hurt you. Nobody. Only Uncle Hugo, the head of the family. I know Rob Krieger was telling me about this one. Look forward to reading that. That's not in the cover of number 2 says, why am I painting this horrible thing? What strange force is guiding my hand? Feel, it's maddening. It's a portrait of death. And it's really a skeleton guiding his hand. We got Amazing Chan and the Chan Clan from Gold Key Comics, number 1, 2, and 3. So those are 15 cents, 20 cents issues. We have Submariner and the Incredible Hulk, Tales to Astonish, number 86. This one I did read digitally, and now I have the physical copy. I'm getting close to finishing the Tales to Astonish Hulk Submariner. Ant-Man was before that. I still got quite a few of those to get, but this Hulk Submariner stuff, it's coming to a completion almost. Another Tales to Astonish number 82. This has Submariner fighting Iron Man. The power of Iron Man. We have Tales to Astonish, number 92. This one, Submariner's coming out of the water and he's fighting some rock creature. We have Tales to Astonish, number 61. Now, this is a Hulk Ant-Man, and it has Hulk on the top battling the military. It says, Sea Hulk captured at last. On the bottom has Sea Ant-Man now walks the android. So I guess he's fighting an android, him and the Wasp. We have Tales to Astonish, number 77. This has got the Hulk and Submariner again. The thriller you never expected to see. Bruce Banner is the Hulk. Got an Emerald Fantasies. This was a Kickstarter. This is a Pat Shan book. I really like these Pat Shan books. I keep thinking, you know what? I'm going to stop these Kickstarters because they're so damn expensive. And then I get these and I read them and I'm just so entertained that I've been keeping on to these. What else do we got? I think that's it. Well, I got Punisher number 103. I have 104 on the way and I've completed the Punisher. And I've been reading these and this last saga has been really good, extraordinarily good. And then I'll just make sure I got all of the books that I said I was going to talk about and didn't miss any. I'm pretty sure I did. And those were all auction comics I got on Twitter. Not really auction comics, but first come, first serve type comics. And I just got an Untold Tales of Spider-Man minus one. Those were those 99-cent comics that Marvel made an attempt to lower prices and put out some 99-cent comics, and nobody joined. Nobody. It was unsuccessful. I mean, I think Spider-Man was the most successful out of an X-Men book. An Edge book, which was like Daredevils and stuff, Punisher, Avengers Unplugged, and Fantastic Four Unplugged. And there might have been one or two more others, but they didn't last long. So, you know, it was one of the times where I said, ah, this is time people could vote with their wallet and get some cheap 99-cent comics, and nobody did. So, obviously told Marvel, you know, people don't want cheaper comics. And they had Kurt Busiek writing Untold Tales of Spider-Man. Some of the other creative teams weren't as good in the other books. It's very 90s-ish, but they're fun stories. I wish more people would have said, hey, we want these. And they sold hundreds of thousands of copies. And then kept the price and said, hey, you know, Marvel saying, wow, these 99-cent books are really turning people on, you know. But it didn't work. So here we are. We got a couple questions for Mike M. For me. I'm starting to talk in the third person. George, like Seinfeld. George is getting angry. I have two questions, maybe three. I'm still getting over this cough. I'm on some codeine. It's been 3 weeks in the process. The last Geek Brunch, I coughed a lot. So I have three questions. I'm going to save one. Two from Dallo and one from James Rayner from the comic book page. So I'm going to go over Dallo's first one. He says, question from Mike M's Weekly Reads. Often books are better on the second read. Void Rivals was decent first time around, but much better on the reread. Given the size of your collection, do you do rereads? If so, which books have you gone back to? I've been rereading Defenders. I sort of dropped off, but I've been rereading that. I do reread a lot of books. We do a lot on DC Spotlight, so there are a lot of DC books, at least when the show was in its weekly format and or bi-weekly format, and now I don't have a co-host, so I've kind of I put that one on the back burner for a while. And we'd always cover there were four issues we'd put up for a poll, and someone get to pick that, and most of the time the winner I had already read, so I was rereading it. So I do reread a lot of books, and sometimes I get a collected edition and I'll reread them in collected editions, like the Wolverine 1 through 20-ish or so. I reread those. I reread some Daredevil recently. I do tend to reread it, and you know this because you listen to a lot of the shows, Dallo, but I'm a mood reader, so if I feel like rereading something, yes, it does take away from my current pile, and I get farther and farther behind, which I can't seem to stop. But I don't care. My mind just goes where it wants to go, and if it's a reread, it's a reread. So that's a good a good question. I think I'm gonna save the next one for the next time, but they are really good questions, and I look forward to answering them. Some of them might take me a while to think about, for sure. Thank you, Dallo, as always. Keep them coming. I hope you enjoy my responses. The next question, I have to pull up a Slack channel because it came on the Slack channel, which I don't often check. But I got an IM on Facebook saying James had a question for me. And I've sort of addressed this a couple times, but it comes up a lot, and it's something I struggle with daily, and I think about it daily, which isn't a good thing. You know, let's discuss if I could find out where my Slack is. And see what I did with them. DMs. Okay. So James asks, he asked this on May 17th, so I'm pretty late. I hope you listen to this, James, but I'll talk to it a little bit in a couple sentences on the comic book page if I can get my preview spotlights in. But you say, hi, Mike. I hope you're doing well. I try to keep up on your podcast, but do miss some episodes from time to time. I did want to say, I hope I never offended you in the past with my comments I may have made. For some reason, I started thinking about when I was jokingly say boycott DC. I know that's your passion, and I hope you know I wasn't serious. I do love your passion for comics. Just so I could talk to that a little bit. I'll tell you, about 20 years ago, I used to get really pissed off when people would say stuff like, this stuff is garbage. And I was like, no, it's not. And I'd get kind of offended and I would stop listening to certain podcasts. That happened with 11 O'Clock Comics for a while. I had to leave because they said some DC books or some things that I thoroughly enjoy was garbage, and I was taking it offensive. But as time went on, I was like, I don't care what you think. To you, it is garbage. To me, it's a treasure. Why does that have to make me upset? You know, so I don't get upset, and I do listen to your monthly spotlight, And I do disagree with you guys on several things, especially Amazing Spider-Man, and John seems to be down on DC. I would love to be on the show to challenge, to make counterpoints. I think educated counterpoints to some of John's claims, because I am real well-read DC fan, and I remember a lot more than he does, because I think the big difference between you guys and me, and why I appreciate things, is the way I read things. I think if I read things like you guys, I would be a little more grumpy and critical. And here is why. Because you read it as a monthly book, and then you wait 4 weeks, and then you read it immediately, but you have that 4 week lag, and you might not remember everything. But the way I tend to read books, and is a stack of like five or four at a time, you know, like at least a stack of that. So like if I'm reading Spider-Man, I have like four or five piled up, and I just go pew, pew. I plow right through them, and I think because I don't get like that small content, and I get more like a trade content, I think I like the stuff more, James. And I really think, based on my years of experience and the way I hear people talk about stuff, I think I like things more because I'm a mood reader. One, I only read what I want when I want. Yes, you do get a big pile of books that you haven't read yet, but you do knock off a lot that you've accumulated in one sitting. So yes. So I cheat. I do not read like the comic book says you should read in a monthly format. And I seem to be much happier. And I've been doing that since I was in high school. When I was in, before high school, I didn't have any money. Wasn't working much. But what I did, I got mowing grass, and I would buy comics, and I would read them as soon as I got them, but I didn't have that much. And as I got more and more comics, I obviously got a pile, and I started reading a mood reader. And I've been a mood reader since, yeah, damn near high school. So that was a long answer to a short question. I'm not offended. You guys have your opinions, and I understand that. My feeling is, though, that no comic is garbage, that everybody will find something to like. And when, like, I don't know, I'll never say something is garbage. I'll say it wasn't for me, or, you know, people that enjoy this kind of thing might enjoy it, but I will never say it's garbage, because I know how I felt, you know, 10 years ago when people would say the stuff that I like is garbage. So I don't say that anymore. But I don't care that people do. I'm listening to 11 O'Clock Comics and you guys, and I listen to, and I hear the word not good and garbage, and it doesn't affect me anymore. So yeah, I just roll a tuck and roll and move on. You say, I did have a question for you in future podcasts. You have a huge collection, bigger than John Mayo. Yeah, it's big. It's encroaching on 100,000. I'm at 98,000 comics, and I still have a closet and a row of comics, a closet plus a row of comics, and at least another four short boxes that have not been inventoried. I just haven't had time, and that could put me closer to the 100,000 mark. But I think it would still be a little shy. So I'm close, if not there already. That's a lot of comics. And I'll tell you what some of my struggles are, because I'm going to finish reading your comment. Do you ever think you would sell your comics to fund your retirement and go digital? I am having a hard time just organizing and finding space, and I have thought about going digital at times. I struggle with this daily, James, and I do a lot of walking and listening to podcasts and a lot of thinking, and I'm getting old, and I love 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 comics, and I love 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 physical comics, and I love getting them. I love getting them. I love processing them. I love looking through them. I love reading them. I love collecting them. So there's a passion, okay? But let me tell you the other side of the passion that I struggle with. Here's the hard part: space. So the things are that really discourage me and sometimes get me sick to my stomach is how much goddamn space these things take. Okay, so what affects me the most right now is realizing I'm paying a monthly cost for storing these things. That's a lot of cost. And in some of the controlled climate storage units, the cost that they're raping me with cost fees, and they know they can. So they raise the fees at like $80 a pop, sometimes $100 a pop, and then they have a special that goes back down $300. But you know what I'd have to do to go back down and climb my way back up? Is I'd have to move all my boxes from one unit to the ne another unit that opens up. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm fucking old, man. That's a lot of lifting. That's a lot of boxes and a lot of bookshelves. So I get sick to my stomach thinking about that. And the other thing I really don't like is I don't like lifting these things anymore. They're pretty heavy. And up and down stairs, I have difficulty. Well, I can't take stairs like a normal person because I had tore my meniscus and ACL many years back, and they have healed, and I can do running and I can walk and everything. But when I do stairs, I get like a twinge in there. So I take stairs like clump, 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 and I always right foot first. I can't alternate like right, left. It's right, bring the other leg down, right, bring the other leg down. And when you're carrying a short box, if it was a long box, I'd be dead. But if it, if it a short box, it takes a long time. And so those are just a couple of things that I absolutely hate. I hate paying for storage. Having such a big collection is that. I hate the space they take up. And I do think about in the future going digital with the Marvel and DC. I just haven't been able to consciously do it. I've done it with some X books lately just as a trial. And then I wait 3 months and I read it digitally on the app, and I'm perfectly okay with that because my heart hasn't been like really with the X-Men. I do like the X-Men books. I do get the core, but some of the ancillary titles I get, but I'm not getting, but I like to read them. So I do read them digitally, and I don't own them. So I have been able to do it with some stuff. DC psychologically is devastating, and because of Valiant, I have the same problem with DC and Valiant. I have a lot of problems. And then Image, I have problems with like the Spawns and the Savage Dragons. Like, I don't know if I'd ever be able to cut those. And the Spawn universe is just growing without proportion. So that answers a piece. Yeah, I know that I'm going way ahead of John. Well, when John was getting his 200 books a month, I was getting 400 books a month. So I've always doubled what he is getting. And Bob Bretall, who has the world record, I still he's been buying a lot of back issues now though, and my back issue intake has increased as well. So I don't think I'll ever catch Bob, and if I did catch him, I wouldn't go for a world record because to me, it's so much work to do that because you get audited, you have to prove that you still have the world record. You have to prove they'll pick Superman 144. You have to go find that box, pull it out, say, "Here, I have it." You have to prove that your duplicates aren't counted. You have to prove a lot, and that's not worth anything to me. And I know that that world record is not the world record. There's always somebody that has more comics. I've learned this, and I've seen some. There's people that have warehouses of comics, and you don't really see them like you would Bob's because he's advertised his collection. But the majority of people that are in our hobby are introverts. Like they don't d want to discuss comics. They get their comics, they read their comics, and they follow the storylines, and they don't even play sometimes in the social media world. They don't, they just get them, and they've accumulated used collections. You hear about these collections when they die, and that's your next question. Like, hey, you're gonna retire. What do you want to do? So, yeah, when I retire, I am probably going to sell off what I can sell off, and hopefully, and that'll be a hobby in itself. So I'm hoping that my hobby is a hobby to get rid of it in my retirement and keep some incoming money and keep current by reading the digital comics. Unfortunately, independents are not as friendly as DC and Marvel with their subscriptions. But I could be okay with that. So yes, I have thought about it, and you probably heard me say I want to retire early. And yeah, ideally I'm like 5 years away from retirement, but the more I see my friends retire, and the more I see health decline and stuff, and the more my parents need help and Barb's parents need help, the more I want to retire. And I could, but I have to be creative on spending. I have to lower a lot of things that are not necessary, like streaming services, and I got to focus more on moving money from there to paying off health care and stuff like that. So yeah, I've thought a lot ab about that, and yeah, I and it's gonna make me cry to part with my collection, and that doesn't even mean I haven't even started parting with my toy collection. So for a while there, I was getting every DC Direct toy and statue. So I've amassed a huge collection. Not only that, but I have all the Star Wars originals, the $6 Million Man, Big Jim's pack, all the original Ninja Turtles, all the Batman movies, every toy that almost came out that was superhero related. Early, Marvel Legends. Early Marvel Legends, Bowen statues, DC CoverGirl statues, every single DC Eagle Moss toy ever published, Lady Death toys, some toys from Toy Fair, the Wizard magazine that I ordered and sent away for them, Battlestar Galactica toys and statues. Phew. Just tons of stuff. And I have to get rid of that too. So I haven't even started to, not to talk about like all the DVDs and VHSs that I've amassed, including all the CDs, music CDs and everything else. And yeah, it's crazy. So like I heard a lot of people say as you get towards older, you want to be a minimalist, and I really can understand why people say that, because you become less healthy, you become this, and you need to be able to move things faster and do things with less. So yeah, it's pretty crazy, my friend. And I'll talk to you a lot about it, and if you ever want to talk about it. I'd like to talk to Bob about it. Like, what happens to your collection when you get older? I've talked to one guy, because I used to do Collector's Corner, and I try to keep that mentality, but it's getting harder and harder to keep it because he is a single guy and he doesn't have to worry about space yet where he's taking things away from his house. But I imagine that if he did, his name is Michael Pindell, the comic book addict. Attic, sorry, like an attic, like upstairs attic. He's a heavy collector of movies. Like he has his own video store looking thing and also comic books. He used to do a comic book podcast. Now he does one every 5 months, but I think he focuses more on his movie collection. And when I talked to him, we talked a little bit about it, and he told me something that I try to keep in my back of your mind is when you die, you'll hopefully die happy with your collection, but you shouldn't have to worry. I worry about because I have a wife and this stuff would just be a burden to her. But, like from his perspective, he's like, it goes, I don't care, I'm dead. I want to be happy up until the day he dies. So that's his mentality. I'm caught up with, I'd like to make it a hobby. This is ideally make it a hobby to get rid of my stuff in retirement, and maybe even travel to some toy fairs and stuff like that, and just take stuff and try to sell it, see what I can do online, sell various things, because it will provide money going into there, even if it's for medical expenses or whatever I need it for. So at the same time, I don't really like to deal with people selling things, but I'm gonna have to make it a hobby. So that was a long-winded question, and I think I'm gonna skip the previews, the Death of Superman, which is gonna continue with the after DC. I read the DCs the last time because this question lasted a long time, and I'm encroaching on 43 minutes. And I need to get to the weekly reads. So I'll be back with the weekly reads. James, I want to thank you for your question. You don't offend me. I still listen to your show. I don't listen to all of John's shows. I listen to the preview spotlight. I still enjoy that. I wish I could participate more. I listen to your monthly spotlight. I miss it being weekly. And I really miss John's numbers breakdown, but what can you do? No one has sales numbers anymore. I really miss knowing what the top 100 books are and how things are selling and being able to see. I really miss that a lot. I enjoyed that kind of thing. So yeah, I'll be back with some weekly reads. I'll probably only do 1 week, but we'll go from there. I'll be right back. Bye. Actually, since I'm only doing 1 week, this should be really fast. So this is April 8th of 2024 to April 14th of 2024. Again, movie wise, I was watching a lot of James Bond, and so the 4 out of 5s was GoldenEye. I liked that one a lot. Quantum of Solace, it was very enjoyable, and the other 4 out of 5 was Winning Time, which is that the first couple years of the Lakers. Really good series, phenomenal actors, loosely based on everything. I'd say everything's around 80% true, but somehow modified a little bit. And a fantastic show on HBO, worthwhile, even though it only went 2 seasons. It's highly worth your time, especially if you're an NBA fan and you grew up with Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Kurt Rambis and Byron Scott shows up in second season, and Kurt Rambis, and yeah, it's a fun Norm Nixon, fun series, and you get to see some of the other teams play against them, so they have actors playing them. Larry Bird plays a big part because of his rivalry with Magic Johnson, and the fact that they played in the college finals against each other before they went pros. We have the 5 out of 5 Casino Royale. This is the Daniel Craig. I love that movie. It's one of the James Bond movies that I've seen at least 4 times, and I haven't seen a lot of these James Bond movies. Like GoldenEye, I never saw. That's the first time I saw it. Quantum of Solace, first time I saw it. GoldenEye, Casino Royale, really enjoyed it. Now later on, you'll see I watched the Peter Sellers and David Niven, Woody Harrels, Woody. God, what I can't think of his name. I want to say Woody Harrelson, but it's not Woody. Whatever his name is, but they did a comedy Casino Royale, and I didn't care for that one too much, but it was entertaining. Peter Sellers' part was okay. I liked him in that, but I love Peter Sellers, so it's hard for me to go wrong with Peter Sellers. The comic books read were 25. I read 18 DC and 7 Dark Horse. I stuck with the D's that week. The 3 out of 5s, which were just okay, were Blue Beetle 3 through 7. This is the latest series, which focuses on a bunch of. It's trying to make Blue Beetle like a. Like he's got a bunch of armored friends, kind of like Power Rangers or Super Sentai. I don't really care for that stuff, but I'd rather just have adventures with Jaime. So there's aspects of this I like that are Jaime related, and then when it gets too big, I don't like that part, but I still like to be in the world of Blue Beetle and see what goes on and see the soap opera happen unfold in front of me, because history matters to me in every comic. Especially DC. So we got 4 out of 5s. We have Jenny 0, 3, and 4. This is the Dave Duanch series about Kaiju and a girl that was raised by her father and never told that she is actually can turn Kaiju. And when a military organization finds out, they want her help to fight Kaiju. And she's kind of like a punk rock chick that doesn't like authority and likes to do her own shit, and she has a best friend, obviously. It's a good series. I really like it, and there is a volume 2, which I haven't read yet, but I really enjoyed Jenny Zero. Dave Duanch, he's a podcaster that became an actual writer, and he's actually drawn too before, but he used to podcast with Super Ugly, and they were good podcasters, but they're good at creating stuff too. So, unlike myself, even though I still have that comic book to finish. They have a lot of talent. Action Comics 263. I think this was towards the end before the dealing with the Superman family, right before the Brainiac story hits. I didn't take too much notes on it, but I enjoyed the Philip Kennedy Johnson stuff, and then I enjoyed the Jason Aaron stuff. I thought the Jason Aaron stuff was surprisingly good considering it's Bizarro, because I don't like all Bizarro tales, but I do like a lot of them, and I thought he did a great job with Bizarro, and I think this was a Bizarro Jason Aaron story. We have Dark Horse Comics 8 through 11 and 25. Now, why did I read 8 through 11 and 25? Because I found out that James Bond was in these issues. So the James Bond ones were pretty good. They're Dark Horse did publish some actual James Bond comics outside of Dark Horse Comics, and these ones were pretty good. They also had Star Wars stories. There was a really good Star Wars story in here that kicked off, from what I understand, it's the first Dark Horse printed Star Wars story, and I think it was Dark Horse Comics number 8 or 9, and that was really good. There was like three parts to it, and it dealt with a female who was married to a Jedi, and her husband dies, and then she has to go to a planet and learn from the mentor to become a Jedi, and she has a child, and somebody's after her. We have X. That has always been one of my favorite Dark Horse superheroes. He was in this as well, and we had some Predator and Alien stories and a RoboCop story. So with all those licensed properties in this, it had to be good, and it was. We have those 4 out of 5s, and we had Tales of the New Teen Titans number 3. This was to get prep for Beast. This was actually reprints. I think it was Beast World Evolution, which reprinted these. And this number 3 had a Changeling campfire stories with the team, which was very entertaining. Which Beast Boy was kind of telling stories to his teammates around a campfire while they were eating s'mores, and he kept burning the hot dogs. Then we had Teen Titans number 6, where Beast Boy joins. This was the 70s. Beast Boy joins the Teen Titans for the first time, and also had Anthro, which at this time Beast Boy was coming from the Doom Patrol to be a member of the Teen Titans. Anthro number 1. This was a new one that I got recently in back issues. I enjoyed this so much. Anthro is like a caveman boy, and he was with his kid who looks up to him, and they had found some meat, a woolly mammoth, and they needed to get the meat back to the camp, but they were being attacked by wolves, and a woman tried to kill Anthro, because it turns out that woolly mammoth that was dead was her pet. So she wasn't happy about that and tried to kill Anthro, but they become allies in the end and try to save the boy, who was later attacked by some animals and hurt pretty bad. So they took him back to the camp and tried to heal him. But it's pretty good I can remember that, because I enjoyed it so much and I didn't take any notes. And then we have Batman and Robin 1 through 8 and Annual 2024. Didn't take notes on these, but what I remember is this is Damian and Bruce Wayne learning to work with each other, and it's Bruce deciding that he needs to be a father instead of like Batman is to Robin. He needs to be he needs to be a father to his son. And I think that was amazing. And I think this approach to this book is really great because we saw Dick kind of take that in the original Batman and Robin, where he was almost like a brother but a father to Damian. But this is, Bruce letting down his hair, if you will, and showing himself as his, like, hey, I'm your dad, and trying to get him to go through school and trying to get him to do stuff and also fighting crime at the same time. And it's an amazing story. What got me to read this was Drew, because he was talking about it on his podcast and asked me a question, I think in Mike M's Weekly Reads, and I was like, you know what? I haven't read this stuff. So even though I own it, I hadn't read it because, I'm a mood reader and I hadn't been in the mood for Batman. But when he talked about it a little bit and talked about, like, he asked me a question on this show, like, are there other books where Bruce became real personal with other characters? And I mentioned a few. And then I was like, I gotta read this book and see what it's all about. And I really enjoyed it. So I want to thank you for listening. Again, the top 5 out of 5s was Batman and Robin 1 through 8 in Annual 2024. I just got so ecstatic of watching that, reading it, and great art, great stories. And I think there were 2 or 3 artists that shifted through those stories, but it still maintained its great quality, in my opinion. So that wraps this up, and I want to thank you for listening. Again, you can find us at dcnoisepodcast.com. That's where these episodes are going to go in the future. I'm still going to post this, so hopefully people listen and know why we're migrating. I might get the domain if Derek can change it to point to for Geek Brunch to, go to the other site. But hopefully the RSSs are going to work with this because I haven't posted an episode in a while. Hope to get back on track. We had a brother-in-law visiting us, and Bill's been busy, and then we had all those problems, and I haven't been posting as much episodes as I wanted. So hopefully I'm getting back on track, and at least until the next vacation. So we'll see you, and you can contact me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. You can send me questions there. Send me email because I'm paying for a lot for that goddamn account. And also, you can send me at Mike Myers Brunch on Blue Sky and Twitter slash X. That's how Dallo sends me questions. And if you're on the Slack on the comic book page and you listen to this show, you can send me questions there. You could probably send questions to Drew and he'll route them to me because sometimes I appear on Comics for Fun and Profit. And let me know what you think. If you listen to it on Comics for Fun and Profit and some of the episodes I released over there, let me know. Let me know if I can provide him some stop gaps when he doesn't record and just give him a Mike M's Weekly Reads if you're interested in listening to these over there. So thank you for everything. Thank you, Drew, for posting the one episode I couldn't get out, and I eventually did get it out, but it took a week and a half. So thanks for posting the episode, and hopefully some people, we have some cross listeners, and they got to hear the episode before others did. But thank you for allowing that to happen. And thank you, Dallo, and thank you, James of Comic Book Page, for giving me a good question. And you're not alone, my friend. Trust me. I think there was some piece of follow-on here. You said you were moving your own collection at 25,000, and it's a lot of work. I can't imagine a collection your size. I debate just going digital and calling it a day. Not sure I would get how I would get rid of my physical collection. Yeah, it's a task, and there are things that we all think about. So, yeah. All righty. You thank you for, James. Thank you, Drew, for everything. Thank you, Derek, for working so hard to try to get the site back up after all the crap that we had happen. I don't know exactly how it happened, but it did. And thanks, Dallo, as always. Dallo, you are what keeps me going, man. I mean, your interest in what I talk about keeps a fire lit. So I really appreciate your questions. Thank you. Bye.